And you know, we've been spending some time recently on the show talking about food, and I am back with one of our colleagues from NPR's food blog, The Salt. It's NPR's Dan Charles. Hey, Dan.
Hey, David. Nice to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here with a spread of various plates of food.
So, David, it's summertime. We're going to be talking tomatoes this morning, and why you can't really get a great tomato in the supermarket.
Which makes me a little sad because I kind of like tomatoes, Dan. I didn't like tomatoes when I was growing up as a kid, which I've heard a lot of people say, that tomatoes is sort of an acquired taste as you get older. You liked it the whole time.
Well, we grew tomatoes in the garden. In the summertime, you go out and sit at the picnic table and have tomato sandwiches.
Oh,
it was pretty amazing.
Tomato sandwiches, just bread and tomato?
And celery salt. But I'm not going to admit
you
that on the air.
You just admitted it, Dan. You just admitted it, and it's going to stay right in there. So here's my memory. I would just eat sliced tomatoes at my grandmother's apartment building in New Jersey on the beach. We'd buy them at a farm stand, not the grocery store, and it was like the memory of summer. Slice them up, a good bit of salt, which just added something to it. And after a day at the beach, I loved it.
If you have great expectations for a tomato, supermarket tomatoes are often full of disappointment.
Yeah.
And this morning, I have a story in three acts.
Oh, it's like a play. This is a play by Dan Charles.
The reasons why and a look toward the future.
So okay.
Act one, take the cover off this tomato.
All right. It was labeled number one. Looks like a good old-fashioned, round, sort of large tomato.
Yeah, slicing tomato, they called it in the supermarket.
Slicing tomato, okay.
I am going to take a slice out of it, and we're going to taste it.
Okay.
So hang on here. So okay. There's one slice.
All right, there's a chunk. Kind of awful to me.
Not so good, huh?
Not so good. It's a little crunchy and tasteless.
Well, this is your classic supermarket tomato, probably grown in Florida this time of year.
Not a fan.
But it got here, right? Which is kind of amazing. Hundreds of miles away, and it got here, and it looks great. It looks pretty red.
Mm-hmm. But don't judge a tomato by its cover.
But the way it got here, I mean, you had to do certain things to this tomato to make it arrive at a supermarket hundreds of miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing they did was they bred this tomato to be large and also very firm. It had to be tough to survive this.
Oh, because if it was soft, it would get crushed and smushed.
Exactly.
Before it
so
made
a
it.
Lot of the juiciness probably got lost along the way as they bred this hard tomato.
Oh, yeah, sure did.
The other thing is it has to survive the field in Florida with diseases and pests and rain and wind and
a lot of enemies.
So they actually pick it when it's still green. It gets red along the way to the supermarket, but you know, if you pick a tomato when it's green, it's not going to have that sort of natural ripening process on the vine the way it really should. So, act two.
Okay.
Lifting the cover off this tomato.
Looks similar, but a little shinier and healthier, maybe?
A little redder.
Yeah.
So, this is a hothouse tomato.
Okay.
It comes from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And the Mexican industry has taken a little bit of a different route. They grow their tomatoes, for the most part, in shelter, what you might call shade houses.
Greenhouses, I'm imagining, or this is a different thing?
They're not full high-tech greenhouses, but they are protected from the elements.
All right.
And that allows them to do a couple of things. It allows them to let that tomato stay on the plant a little bit longer. These are tomato plants that are so-called indeterminate varieties. They keep producing fruit through the growing season, so workers go through picking them again and again. And those kind of plants, plant breeders tell me, are going to be a little higher in those soluble sugars, the flavor carrying.
I have a bad taste in my mouth from this Florida tomato. Can we dig into the Mexican tomato
let's
here?
Let's take a slice.
Please.
Here we go.
I have high expectations.
Yeah.
Uh huh. I'm just going to grab. This does feel better. A little wetter. Yeah. A little more memory from childhood. Salt would help. I'm not going to lie. You didn't bring any. That's okay. I forgive you. We're cool.
So a little bit better, but still, really big tomato. It's still got to be bred for firmness, for toughness in order to get here. So act three, taking the lid off.
Those are small.
Like a squash ball size.
Yeah, like golf ball, right? Yeah.
Golf ball size.
Do you play squash?
No, but my wife does.
Okay. I don't play squash. I would
so
do
let's,
golf. Yeah.
Let's take a taste. I'm just going to cut this one in half. You get half and I get half.
Okay, these little tiny tomatoes taste much better than anything you've given me so far. Is that where we're going with this? Smaller tomatoes are better?
Well, there's an interesting thing about these tomatoes. So this is a true greenhouse tomato.
Uh-huh.
These are the most pampered tomatoes on earth. They're grown in these...
Treating them like children here. We're talking
amazing
about
structures, huge structures. I visited one up in Canada. It was 50 acres, 50 acres under glass, perfect conditions for growing tomatoes. The roots are in ground-up rock. They're not even in soil anymore. They get their nutrients in their water fed to them through little tubes.
You're doing these hand motions like this is this beautiful, wonderful art that's going on to create these tomatoes.
Basically, if you grow tomatoes in a protected structure like that and then treat them very gently, you can do a couple of things. One is you can pick them when they are truly ripe.
Which you said is key.
Yeah. And the second is they've actually gone and tried to find a better tomato. Gone to back to the plant breeders and said, find us a tomato that really tastes great as opposed to one that's big or one that's solid or one that's going to hold up on the shelf life.
And let me guess, you're going to tell me that this whole process makes these beautiful tasting things a lot more expensive.
Well, it does. This tomato that I brought you in the little clamshell package, that was $4 a pound.
Wow.
The other tomatoes were $2.50 a pound.
If I, you know, don't want to spend that much or don't have that much money to spend on my tomatoes, I mean, am I just stuck with this kind of not so good tasting, big Florida firm, dry thing?
Well, unless it's tomato growing season and you can grow your own. Or you can find a farmer who's growing tomatoes nearby.
But the grocery store, I'm kind of out of luck.
In the grocery store, it's a tough business, and that is the trade-off you're looking at. Are you going to go for cheap production, or are you going to go for, you know, great taste with less yield? Okay, so one last thing, David. One last rule, if you don't want to destroy your own tomatoes that came out of the grocery store or anywhere, don't put them in the refrigerator.
Whoa. Never put tomatoes in the refrigerator.
Never put a tomato in the refrigerator. If it goes below 55 degrees, it just shuts down the process within the tomato that produces those luscious, soluble sugars.
Okay.
It'll just ruin the tomato. Don't do it.
Okay. Talking Tomatoes with NPR's Dan Charles. Thanks, Dan.
It's nice to be here.